our help and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever and ever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 27, the stanzas 4 and 5. We have to do it without an organ, because the organist was not able to come to this place because of the snowstorm. We will sing Psalm 27, the stanzas 4 and 5.
Response.
beloved, the scripture reading in this evening hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. But first we will confess our faith by the words of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading in Genesis 41. And Abraham was old, and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, and unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abram, I pray thee, send me good speed this way, this day, and shew kindness unto thy master Abram. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, and was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into a trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, We have bought straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abram, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, in being in the way the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when she heard his words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared a house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abram's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he is become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and menservants and maidservants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, Then the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day into the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abram, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of the water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. And let the same be the woman whom the Lord had appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face, and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down mine head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And then Laban the Bethuel and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceeded from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abram's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abram's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands, of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah rose, and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's, tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. Lord, we have heard the scripture, the part of the scripture about marriage between Isaac and Rebekah. O Lord, teach us in thy ways, because it is not only history, but it is history of salvation. Lord, we have no power to preach no power to pray. We are so weak that we cannot think anymore. But let us be strengthened by the power of Christ, because without His power we have to die. O Lord, take us by Thy right hand, because our religious friends have left us. But if Thou be with us, we will make it all right. Lord, our strength is broken, and we must rest upon Thy staff, upon Thy righteousness, otherwise we perish. Lord, give us Thy Spirit in speaking and listening, and that it may be known that we are driven by Thy Spirit. We have no human brains, no knowledge of God, no understanding of the divine things without Thy Spirit. Lord, the churches are going down, but Thy word will stand forever and will never fail. And that we may live by faith only, by a true faith working by love. Lord, we have no faith and no love ourselves, but Thou have to speak and it will be. Thou have to command and it will stand. Be with Thy afflicted people in what country they live, especially in countries where they were persecuted. O Lord, increase Thy kingdom around the world, and that we may be a witness of Thy wondrous works in Thy begotten Son, Christ Jesus. Be with the little ones in faith. Keep them from the temptations of the devil. And keep them from the false doctrine too, which are so many in our days. O Lord, Thou art a good shepherd, and we have no weapons in the battle, but be a firewall around us, that we may stand in Thy armored guard. We pray Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, with the help of the Lord, we will follow Abraham on his way of faith. But that is only possible by faith, because God cannot be pleased without faith. And the life of Abraham is marked by faith, and we all need the same grace revealed in Jesus Christ, Him crucified. In the Dutch sermon this morning, we have heard about the sacrifice of Abraham, and also that Sarah was passed away. And with the help of the Lord, we will continue the story of the patriarchs. And in this evening, we will think about the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, and how Rebekah was led to Isaac. And we will also think about the circumstances that came along with it, that marriage. Beloved, the marriage is a covenant of faithfulness between a man and a woman. And that covenant, beloved, cannot be broken, not even by a divorce. No. Only in case of adultery. But there is no other reason to divorce. Any other reason of divorce is adultery. And there is only one expectation to remarry, that you can find in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 15. But we cannot get into it at this point. And this sermon deals about the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, and it was a marriage in God's favor. And beloved, we take you along to Abram's tent. Isaac had become a sturdy young man, and Abram saw this too. Abram was old. And therefore he calls his servant Eliezer, his oldest servant, and says to him, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now Abraham has Eliezer swear to choose a wife for Isaac in the land of Mesopotamia. And in the East it was customary to marry over a woman. And that need not be a bad marriage. No. We hope to tell you this with the marriage of Isaac and Rebecca. I say a marriage is between two persons, a man and a woman. It is a covenant. A covenant of faithfulness. So, Eliezer goes out to seek a wife for Isaac. And Abraham also made Eliezer promise that he would not return Isaac to the land from which the Lord had called him, Mesopotamia. He didn't do this without reason, for the Lord had promised him the land of Canaan and to his seed in particular. So, Abraham knew that if Isaac went back to the country from which he had been called, it would be against the will of God. And at the same time, he would get God's displeasure on Isaac, because God wanted his seed to dwell in Canaan, isolated from the heathens, separated from the heathens. Now, young fellows in our midst, when you look for a girlfriend, first pray to the Lord to give you one who fears the Lord. Don't seek a heathen girl, for the Lord forbids this in his word. Remember that if you do want a girlfriend, that is averse to the service of the Lord, you are bound to gather the grapefruits. For it says, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman, Solomon says. And somebody says, but I'm not going to marry with such a serpent, I hear you say. Now wait a moment. You say this now, but don't be too hasty, for it says in the Bible, it says in the word of God, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Therefore it is essential to bow your knees and ask the Lord's approval. Now somebody says, how do you know then that she is the right one? Now to tell you the truth, such a thing is not often asked anymore nowadays. Oh yes, sometimes it is. For I heard that Russian young people who belong to an unregistered church and get friends go steady for no longer than 2 or 3 months. And in these months they pray to the Lord to ask him if he approves of it. And at the same time, they have days of fasting. So, they are in earnest to receive an answer from the Lord. And if it doesn't become clear, they stop the dating and do not stick together anymore. But is God's favor apparent? Then they wait no longer and get married. Well, this may be the most favorable representation of the matter, but it is proof of the recognition of God in marriage. And the Lord wants to be consulted for he is a jealous God. Now, the Lord may lead a person into ways of which one may say he will come to grief. But the hidden things are for the Lord and the revealed things for us. And at least if you want to be led, ruled and preserved by God. And there are many young people in church who won't be advised by parents who fear the Lord. And that is a very bad development. For young people, you should remember well that you are wearing the covenant sign on your foreheads, and therefore you cannot do any more what you like. The sorrows of the wicked in numbers shall abound, but those that trust Jehovah, his mercy shall surround. Yeah, I hear somebody saying, yes, but I want to have some fun in my life. So, you think that fearing God means a life without enjoyment. Now then we must say to you, you are altogether wrong. For fearing the Lord is no hard service, mind you. You should be wiser. The psalmist says that it is a service of love that one will never feel sorry for. You may say, yes, but the dejection I don't like nothing is allowed anymore. Now, young fellow, here you are wrong again, for the Lord allows you everything. You didn't think so, did you? Of course, by everything is meant all that God approves of. But that is a lot. For instance, every half an hour you may ask him everything, if you are at a loss what to do. And the Lord says, open wide thy mouth of longing, and I will satisfy thy need. So, will you never say any more that nothing is allowed when you fear the Lord? For the Lord says, open your mouth wide, and I will fulfill it. Now, the Lord doesn't mean to be mean, mind you. Yes, it is terrible to think about the Lord in this way. You will find that out if you keep resisting his will. But the Lord has no slaves in his service. He wants to be served willingly. Now, young fellows in our midst, if you may fear the Lord, you cannot understand there are people who don't want to fear the Lord. Yeah, I know it in my own life. And that's true, for his love causes you to love him. You would wish then everyone had the fear of the Lord. For people of God, just tell me, isn't the Lord good? Have you ever lacked anything? I still have to meet the first person who will say so. For God is good in everything he does. And now you should understand well, this cannot only be understood if faith works by love, for otherwise God's children are often wayward too. God's children, yeah? For they are also flesh, mind you. You should never idolize God's people, because the Lord won't tolerate that. But you must not despise and ignore them either, for the Lord doesn't allow his people to be mocked. And he that touches his people touches the apple of his eye. Oh yeah, we have to talk about Isaac's marriage, but Eliezer has been on his way for quite a long time. We almost have lost sight of him. Yeah, that's the way with man, he always loses sight of God's way and will. But the Lord is so infinitely good that he has given us his word, for his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is what the psalmist is saying. So we have read Genesis 24, verse 11, and there it says, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. So, Eliezer is sitting near a well outside the city. And what city? For there are many cities. Now in verse 10, we read that he was on his way to a city of Nahor. Now the city of Nahor, what city is that? Now, if you have a Bible with marginal notes, you can have a look at them to see what they say. This city is called Haran. And the marginal notes are very readable if you want to search God's word, but in essential matters we have consulted the Lord himself if he will show us the way, if the salvation of our immortal soul is at stake. And we want to be guided by God. And that is what Eliezer did. And when he had arrived at Haran after a long journey. For Eliezer himself didn't know what to do, therefore he asked God what to do. And first he tells the Lord the circumstances in which he is, and then he lays something before the Lord. And that sounds like prescribing something. But this was not the case, for he did not get there for himself. No, actually it was God's cause. And he speaks as follows to the Lord. We have read it in Genesis. You read it in Genesis 24, verse 14. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And let the same be, she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. Now Eliezer consciously asks this, for he knows that if one gives more than requested, such a person must be the righteous. And such a wife he sought for Isaac, and so did Abraham. But that was what the Lord had destined for Isaac. And in his faith, Eliezer prays, knowing that God cannot be mistaken, for it says, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, beloved, look, for it says, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. Now, I'm sure that Eliezer fears the Lord, like Abraham, and that he had some experience about God's providence, the way of providence. And when Rebekah had given Eliezer some water at his request, she said, I will draw for thy camels also, unto they have done drinking. And why did Eliezer accept this trait? What did it mean? For it was only a small matter which Rebekah did here. No, beloved, it was nothing striking, but that need not be. There are people who only believe if something striking happens. But I have said more than once that you are still in unbelief. For the smallest thing of God is great. And faith doesn't look upon something great, but unto God. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. And Eliezer was a true believer, a God-fearing man, but he doesn't want over serious piety, but clarity and truth. And what was that? Now that is quite simple. A righteous man regarded the life of his beast. Now, tell me, who are your beasts? And then I'll tell you who you are. Tell me who your friends are, and I shall tell you who you are. That's biblical. But that may be deceptive, mind you. And even if all the people of God were your friends, they may still be a Judas among them. So, this can be deceptive, but when your beasts look poor and you are faring well, then you know nothing of grace. For Solomon had found out that the righteous man regarded the life of his beasts, like the shepherd know his sheep. So, here is your proof that what Eliezer prays, what Eliezer pays attention is truly essential. And this was certainly biblical. And do you know what was the effect of the answer, to his prayer? That Eliezer marveled his silent adoration before the Lord. And for it says, "And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." So, to hearken is better than the fat of the rams. So when Rebecca had given the camel's water, Eliezer gave her ornaments. We would say he bedecked her with gold. And what did this mean? That was not meant to buy Rebecca for a price. No. He did so through faith. Eliezer believed already that Rebecca was to become Isaac's wife. And that's why he gives all the treasures of Abram to her right now. And that gives us a spiritual interpretation concerning the way of the Lord deals with his people. For what does the Lord draw his people with? The Lord draws and lures them with his benefits. He loads them with proofs of his favor every day. For don't you know that the goodness of the Lord leads a man to repentance? Do you know that? Always. Or don't you know that the Lord makes a soul marvel at his benefits to drift them out to the benefactor? For that is what happens to Rebecca as she first receives an impression of Isaac through Abram's treasures. A sweet savior of Christ spoils a man for the service of the word of the world for good. For what does Eliezer come to Rebecca with? With Isaac? No, with Abram's treasures. And do you know, the Moabites first got the treasures of Boaz. What were they? They were the ears of corn on the field of Boaz. That was not Boaz himself. Abram's treasures were not Isaac. Now nowadays one has caught the Venetian very quickly and they are converted. But for all the benefits, Rebecca became unconverted, if I may say so, in spiritual sense. And Ruth didn't become an Israelite through the benefits of Boaz, no. For she remained a Moabite. Ruth was converted, oh yes. But in spiritual sense, there is only salvation if we are married with Christ by a true faith. Now, may I ask, men and women in our midst, do you remember your marriage or not? Only when Ruth has married Boaz did her state change. Only when we are connected with Christ by a true faith, our state is changed. Renewed. And that was the way with Rebecca. There's no system. That's what God's word teaches us. Nowadays people only have a very thin Bible, only the New Testament. But Paul interpreted the New Testament with the Old Testament. And that is hardly understood anymore. And one doesn't want to hear that distinction anymore because then one is placed outside. But when God convicts you, beloved, you will come to the field of the Old Testament in the area of Moses, the keeper of the law. Moses looks like very friendly. But Moses cannot lead you to Christ. I mean the law of Moses. I mean the law of Ten Commandments. That law is not a schoolmaster to Christ. but an avenger of blood. And then the schoolmaster to Christ was the law of commandments in ordinances. But that law was only applicable for the Jews. And you know, when Christ was come, that law is fulfilled in him. And nowadays one only knows the Christ of the New Testament. But if he is not the same as the Christ of the Old Testament, then he is not the Christ of the Scriptures, of whom Moses and the prophets have testified. For Christ says, "For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me." Now look, that was orthodoxy, and these people appealed to the Old Testament only, but then one doesn't have a complete Bible either. And now the divine revelation is from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. And what do you find? What do we find between the two covers? Tell me. I will tell you that. Nobody but Jesus Christ, him crucified. And therefore it is testable to interpret Christ from the Old Testament. For he is unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But by nature a man wants none of this. But they that have been convicted to God have experienced that they were still wretched. Why? Because they feel that they didn't know Christ in the power of his resurrection. Beloved, don't let anyone deceive you. Let no man lay his hands upon you, but seek the Lord and his power. And then the Holy Spirit will teach you how to go. And did you know that Rebecca became more and more wretched as she heard of Isaac? When a lost sinner hears about Jesus, then he cries louder and louder in his heart, "Give me Jesus, else I die." For presently we shall see how Christ reveals himself to the eye of faith of his bride spiritually. But first let us see how it went with Eliezer, how Rebecca left with him to meet Isaac. For it says, after giving the ornaments to Rebecca, he asked her where she come from. And Rebecca tells him that she is the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And Nahor was a brother of Abram, so Rebecca was a cousin of Isaac. And that was quite common in those days. A marriage between a cousin and Rebecca was to of Isaac. And Rebecca told him also they had enough room to accommodate their camels. There was a lot of room for Eliezer to lodge. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped Rebecca. No. It says, and the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Let God be praised with reverence, deep. That is what Eliezer sang. And somebody want to say to Eliezer, but Eliezer, it is way too early for that. No, my friend, Eliezer would say, I believe it. What? That the Lord cannot lie. And the Lord had answered Eliezer's prayer, didn't he? Yes, but Thomas says, I want to see him first. No, Thomas, Eliezer says, I believe God at his word. And what do you believe then, Eliezer? Well, that Rebecca will become Isaac's wife. Yes, but wait and see. Rebecca also had a brother, his name was Laban. And Laban also ran to the well, for he saw the ornaments which Rebecca had received from Eliezer, and he thought, I am bound to get something too. And Laban said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. A man dares to do anything. He uses and misuses the name of the Lord to get money. Laban was a miser, and we shall see that with Jacob's story. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. That is what the Bible says. Now, God's children cannot live in that root. No. They cannot live with that root. Never. But after this, Eliezer tells Bethuel and Laban and the other members of the family how the Lord has had led his way here and why he had come and how Rebekah had received him. However, he tells it in an exactly different order. Remember. For Eliezer says that first he asked who Rebekah's family was, and then he gave her the ornaments. But it had been the other way around. Why does Eliezer do that? Well, one cannot tell anybody everything. For the same reason that I will not be understood and interpreted wrong. Eliezer was a very wise man. You cannot tell anybody everything. Especially if it concerns faith received about a certain thing. For it would be religious boxes your ears with it. For a natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And to prevent difficulties, so that God's name will not be blasphemed, and one must often hold his tongue or do like Eliezer. For if you have faith, it says, have it for yourself before God. The honor of God may require that you tell everything anyway. But that should be a matter of prayer. For them that honor me, I will honor, says the Lord. And that may imply that you have to prophesy. That may be a solemn word, for you should understand the meaning of that word well, for it means testify. Now Christ says, ye shall be witnesses to me. He says that to his disciples. Now, friend, in our midst, then it may happen that the Lord calls you to become a minister. But we are not speaking about this. Let us go back to the living room of Bethuel's house, for there things are being discussed, which you will like to know. For Bethuel and Laban have listened to Eliezer with great attention, and they answer, the thing proceeded from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Now that's quite something. They consent half-heartedly. For if the answer is, we cannot speak unto thee, bad or good, then it is neither one thing nor the other. Now that is characteristic of all kinds of political parties and church societies nowadays. Neither one thing nor the other. One has no frank principle anymore. Or it is a time server so that they will not suffer by it. But you are a coward. If you follow that procedure. And that's what was done in the courtroom of Caiaphas. When the Lord Jesus was condemned unjustly. And then the members of the Sanhedrin, do you know what they said? What think ye? What do you think? And you? And the answer was with one voice, he is guilty, even unto death. And then the rest that was in doubt of it, think the same thing. He is guilty, even unto death. For that people always plot together, when Jesus must be condemned. And Bethuel and Laban stick together too, but they submit themselves. And that is retaining grace which the Lord gives to execute his counsel. After giving them presents and eating with them, Eliezer said, send me back unto my master. But then Laban and Rebekah's mother protest, for they want to stretch his visit. And Eliezer should say, 10 more days. They think, But Eliezer is not persuaded. He says, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master." Now, flesh doesn't give up so soon. And Rebecca is sent for, and her choice is up to her. But in her heart, Rebecca had left already the family. Don't you think so? For she says, "I will go. I will go along with Eliezer for Isaac's sake." And then she went with Eliezer to the land of Canaan, her father Abram and his son dwelt. And there the caravan goes. And Isaac had gone out to meditate in the field, and Isaac had a hidden communion with God. Isaac had feared the Lord from his youth. And now, young people, that is something to be jealous of it. If you still miss it, that's your own fault. For if you humbled before the Lord, then you could have had this fear of God for a long time already. Now you will say, "Yes, but I cannot convert myself." And then I ask you, how do you know that? Have you tried it yet? Have you worn out your knees in your closet? The Lord is worthy of it. To cry after him all your life. And do you know why Isaac was in the field also? Now, what do you think? To see if Eliezer was coming already? Don't you think so? Now you can be sure that Isaac had wrestled before God's throne concerning his future wife. But you know, before Nathanael saw the Lord Jesus had seen Nathanael. And this was also the case with Rebekah, for the word says that Isaac had seen Rebekah before he saw him. For it says, "And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." That has a spiritual meaning. The Lord Jesus has saw his people from eternity. And then and then Rebecca also lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac. And then she lighted off the camel. Love cannot wait. Yes, it can, but not here anymore. But first let us sing Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the first verse. "The Lord my shepherd in his love defends me. I shall not want. In pastures green he tends me." What follows? In Psalm 23, the first verse.
I shall not want in
But when Christ is seen by his bride, then she leaves her bed, like the bride did in Solomon's song. Then she goes out to meet her bridegroom. Why? Her lamp is burning. And when she went into the wedding hall, for it says, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And she went in with him. That's a real remark of the wise virgins, because it says, and they went in the wedding room with him. It's also with Rebecca. And she went in with him, with Isaac. And they began to be married. If the bride of Christ comes home, it says, and they began to marry. Beloved, is that your expectation too? Because what a terrible thing will it be if we come too late to find the door closed. And we read further, because time will never stop. Time flies until the never-ended eternity will be revealed. And then there will be no time anymore. For Sarah, Abram's wife, it was a reality that the time was over, because Sarah passed away. Sarah traveled to a better place, to a place where nobody will say, I'm sick. Sarah entered in that place where God is all in all. And in that place, Sarah will never be unfruitful anymore. Sarah rejoiced the Lord forever. Yeah, but after Sarah's death, there was an empty place in Abram's tent. Abram had become a widower. And beloved young man in our midst, marriage is not forever. Because we are temporal people. We have a temporary, the time is temporary. Remember that. But for Isaac, that empty place has been filled well with Rebecca's arrival. For it says, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Yeah, but Abraham, his father, had become even more lonesome. Isaac and Rebecca were married now, so that a new home could be founded. And of course, there was still a tie with Abraham, but not as the same as between husband and wife, united in holy matrimony. And therefore, Abraham took himself a new wife, Keturah. And she bare him many children. Now, somebody says, so Keturah was more fruitful than Sarah, wasn't she? No, my friend. Because Sarah has bared more children than Keturah. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break out and cry, thou that travailest not, because the children of the desolate are more numerous than those of her that has a husband. Yeah. That mystery can only understand by faith, because it has a deep spiritual meaning. And the experience of true believers is that they cannot bear fruit. And then that they have no good works. No sanctification at all. The child of God has low thoughts about himself, and he seems like a dry tree that has only leaves but no fruit. Now, in that way, Christ reveals himself to his people as her wisdom, justification, sanctification, and complete redemption. Because he says, thy fruit is found in me. Now, beloved, lost sinners in our midst, are you satisfied with the Lamb of God, or do you want to add a tear beside the sacrifice of Christ? Abraham was completely satisfied with Christ, because he gives everything away. everything away. Yeah, for it says, and Abram gave all that he had to Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, Abram gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son. You may say, so Abram did not give his son Isaac everything. Yeah, for God's word says, he gave all that he had unto his son Isaac. Of course, that doesn't mean that he gave nothing to his other son. But it means that Isaac got the, yeah, what did he got? The inheritance. For Isaac was the son of promise. And the inheritance was nothing but the blessing of the eternal covenant. In those days it was customary among the patriarchs that at his death the father blessed the eldest son because of God's covenant implied in the blessing of the firstborn. And the patriarchs did this in faith. Now, however, the eldest son did not away get his blessing. And we'll see that more often in God's word. Just think of the blessing of Jacob, who blessed his sons on his deathbed. So Isaac received the inheritance through the blessing of his father Abram. And at the time, Isaac got by far most of the earthly goods, but also here is fulfilled, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that included all, namely the coming Christ, whom our patriarchs had already received in the promise. They see him through faith. For they had seen him from afar, for afar off, and had embraced him through faith. For faith brings the things which are to come close by. True faith brings eternity into time, as it were, for a small human being. And that's what Isaac received through Abram's blessing, for this had been determined in God's counsel. For faith cannot be transferred, but inheritance he received legally. That inheritance had God's approval. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And this was sealed by means of the covenant blessing. But one of you will say, Ishmael was the eldest son, wasn't he? And he should receive that blessing, shouldn't he? Well, we told you about it with the history of Hagar and Ishmael, but for clearness sake, Ishmael was the eldest son before the law and by nature, but Isaac was the eldest son in grace. Now, who understand. And for that reason it says, the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. The law will never give you grace, but Isaac received everything out of grace. And when Esau said to Jacob, I have enough, I have so many, but do you know what Jacob said? I have all. Now somebody says, wait a moment, preacher, Jacob and Esau have not been born in this context. Well, then you are prepared a little already, how the same difference shows in the life of Jacob and Esau. But let us return to Abram. In the meanwhile, Abram had become very old, 175 years. And then Abram gave up the ghost. That means that he died willingly because he was old and full of days, just like Job. And Abram was buried in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zoar the Hittite, which is before Mamre. You can read it in Genesis 25. So the father of all believers stopped believing, for he became a beholder of him in whom he believed. Faith is not forever. In heaven is no faith. No. And now Abram may stand face to face with Christ, his eldest brother. And he went down into the grave to lie with Sarah. But he has risen with Christ in order to live with God forever. And on earth he had sung more than once, I am a stranger in the earth. But now he will sing forever, praise ye the Lord, praise ye God, praise God in his sanctuary. And beloved, then we read further, and it came to pass after the death of Abram that God blessed his son Isaac. God himself established and supports Isaac. He himself will make them strong, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. What Abram couldn't do anymore, God did to his child, to 1,000 generations. And the word of grace which he commands to 1,000 generations stand. And young people, the seal of the covenant is also on your foreheads, at least if you have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And as such, you are a child of Abram, but that doesn't mean that you are a sharer of the covenant of grace automatically. No. For that you need true conversion and regeneration, true faith. Now just look at Esau, he was also a child of Abraham, to put in this way, but he despised the blessing of the covenant by selling it. He himself was to blame, for a man gets lost through his own fault. But do you know what is the wonder? Jacob is saved out of free grace. And tell me, what is Jacob? Was Jacob's doing? Was this Jacob's doing? Of course not. For God's word does not tell us so much good of Jacob. Except this. What the Lord is saying. I love Jacob and I hated Esau. But let us first speak of Isaac and Rebekah, for how did they fare? Well, you will say, Isaac had been blessed by the Lord. That cannot go wrong. No, that's right. But that doesn't mean that he was prosperous in everything, in everyday life. Yes, in spiritual sense, oh yes. But the Lord wants for this be inquired of by the house of Jacob. Open wide thy mouth of longing, and I will satisfy thy need. But what was amiss with Isaac and Rebekah? Rebekah was barren. Just like Sarah, Rebekah was barren. And beloved, have you ever experienced what it means being barren in spiritual sense? Do you know it by experience? Have we ever become forgot what we are? For all of us were fruitful in paradise, but through the fall, we have become barren. Or do we still bear fruit of touch not, taste not, handle not, as a self-righteous man? If that is our life, we are in a miserable condition because we don't know our misery. For Isaac had experienced what the Lord Jesus said to the fig tree, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And do you know when you learn how to pray? When your prayers become barren. For the gift of prayer is not the fruit of prayer. Remember. When Isaac sees that Rebekah remains barren, then he beseeches God in her presence. For it says in Isaac, entreated the Lord for his wife. And why was this prayer so fruitful? Because Rebekah was barren and Isaac had to experience what this meant. And look, if Rebekah had been fertile, then Isaac's prayer wouldn't have been a fruitful prayer. For then he wouldn't have felt the distress of her barrenness. Do you understand that? Now Isaac did feel this, for Rebekah remained barren. And then Christ would never be born out of his loins. And therefore Isaac was granted to pray fruitfully. For it says, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And why was the Lord entreated of him? Because Isaac was granted to exercise what Christ says in the gospel according to John. Whatsoever ye shall ask in the name of my Father, he will give it to you. Now, and the next time the Lord willing, we will see that the prayer of Isaac has been heard by the Lord, because the promise of the Lord concerning the coming Christ must be fulfilled, and therefore Jacob must be born. That was a must. If you have got the promise of the Lord, beloved, the Lord will fulfill his own promise, because he cannot lie. He is faithful to do what he has said. He cannot lie. Wait for the Lord, because he is waiting to be merciful for a lost sinner. And that's also after grace. That doesn't change. What he has said to the soul, he surely will do it. Because it says, shall not God at all avenge his elect, who cry to him day and night, and he bears long as to them? I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. So, we have heard the story of the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah. But it has a spiritual meaning. The Lord doesn't leave his congregation, no. He has said to his disciples, and lo, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. That we may believe in Christ by a true faith. Pray for it. Cry for it. Open thy mouth. Because the Lord will fulfill it. Not because of your crying, but because of the sacrifice of Christ. Amen. Let us finish with singing together Psalm 89, Psalm 98, sorry, the first verse, Psalm 98, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song voicing, for mighty wonders he has done, his right hand and his arm most holy, the victory for him have won. And what follows in the first verse of Psalm 98.
Sing to the Lord a new song voicing, for mighty wonders has done.
Congregation, let us finish with prayer. Lord, we have heard about the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, which pointed to Christ and his living church. Because there is only one church on earth, and all the church denominations we have made is a mark of high-mindedness and secretism, which fruit has resulted in repeating dividing dead churches, dead sermons, and deadly unbelief. O Lord, we pray thee for a revival, not a revival of religion, but a revival that makes lost sinners who find grace in thy eyes. We have to become dust, O Lord, because we are no more than dust. But dust wilt thou restore in thy image or in Christ, because Christ is the image of thee. That we may become the bride of Christ, like Rebekah became the bride of Isaac in natural sense. O Lord, thou art still the same, yesterday and today. Be with us in the coming week, keep us from accidents and sin, and keep us and take us by thine hands, and lead us in thy ways, in thy truth, and in thy love in Christ. We thank thee for the word we have heard, and take away all that was not according to thy holy word in speaking and listening, in the forgiveness of all our sins. We pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.